Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I am joined by my good friend Chris Castain, and for the first time in quite a while, the leader of the rigged PSF college basketball pick'em, Tristan Beckman. Tristan, how are you doing? How's rigging that college basketball pick'em going for you?
Well, it's not rigged. Eric just does it not is. Know how to pick basketball games. That's all I'm seeing.
It's rigged.
But other than that, I'm doing pretty good, Eric. Life is fine right now.
All right. Well, stop rigging basketball games. Anyways, Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
You're out there in the Georgia of Georgia, just enjoying life?
Yep, today.
Where the hell is my sweet tea?
It's en route.
It's en route?
It's en route from the store.
We were talking about this before the show, but we're going to do a video show when that comes in.
Yeah. It'll be there. They said it'd be about a month.
Oh, really?
No.
God damn it. All right. I don't need this in my life. All right. I need sweet tea in my life is what I need. Well, Tristan, why is Tristan here?
Tristan, I don't know.
Tristan knows more about college football than I do. Chris, also a self-proclaimed college football expert, so hopefully he can bring his knowledge to the table as well.
Not
here.
Bad at all.
We're gonna. The combine's going on right now, so we're gonna talk a little combine and talk a little bit about like who's coming out and what's happening. You know.
Yep.
Tristan, so what's the plan for this weekend? Louisville plays today, right?
Yeah, they play against NC State tonight. Big game.
You going to the game?
No, it's at NC State.
Oh. Yeah, we are recording this earlier than usual as I am heading off to Colorado, Utah to close the Utah home season tonight. Big game for Utah. If they don't win it, there's basically zero chance of getting into the tourney, if there even was a sliver of hope at this point. But we'll be dangerous come NIT time.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about that.
If they make the NIT.
Ooh.
Have you looked at their record? Like, it's a good record.
It's like the same 11.
It's the same as Wisconsin.
Chris,
Wisconsin's
how's Georgia making basketball going?
Georgia sucks. Not pretty well. About the same as Utah, a little worse.
This year, Louisville's not much better, so you guys are...
We'll beat up on Louisville in the NIT, too.
The only thing about Louisville, they play a better schedule, so it works out better for them.
This is the NIT college basketball pod, because all our teams are in the NIT.
Yeah.
That's actually really fun. Have you guys ever done that? Like, ESPN does, like, making an NIT bracket. I do that every year. I know nothing about most teams in the NIT, but it's always fun.
Yeah, I've never done that. I might try that.
I've never done that either.
Well, it just shows how bad Utah is. Well, they didn't used to be this bad. They had, like, three good years, but then this year's actually been pretty decent. We beat Arizona, so...
You just said that.
Yeah, I'm contradicting myself, but I think that the Utes, if they can make the Pac-12 tournament and win, like, one or two games, they'll make the tourney. They've got enough Quadrant 1 wins.
You're talking about Utah? You said Utah?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. The Pac-12 is a very thin conference.
Well, that's not true. The Pac-12 just beats up on each other. If you look at the out-of-conference record, like, Washington beat Kansas, Arizona State beat Kansas. Like, we beat down on good teams, like, out-of-conference. But then, like, when the Pac-12 season starts, everyone loses. No one's, like, above and beyond a great team.
Yeah, I think Washington is going to win that tournament next week.
Really?
Yeah.
That's shocking. Well, I guess we should just get to that.
Shocking, right? Really?
Yeah. Well, my Why pick would have been my pick would have been Arizona.
No, I think Arizona. They're whoo, with all the drama going around in the program.
All right, let's pick the power. We were gonna do this at the end, but let's just do it now. Let's pick the Power Five conference tournament winners. Let's start in the Big 12. I'm going to go Kansas. They're just hot right now. I think they win the tourney.
I'm going to go Kansas, too.
Yeah, Kansas is pretty much a foregone conclusion, in my opinion.
ACC, I'm actually going to go Duke. I think that they take out Virginia. I think Virginia's due for a loss.
I think Duke, too.
I'm going to say Duke as well, but only because I think Duke's going to get revenge on Virginia from that first loss this season.
Big Ten, this one's easier. I guess we should just pick the Final Four. Michigan plays Michigan State. I'm taking Michigan State there, but I wanted to take Michigan. I feel like Michigan could win that game. And then Purdue plays Penn State, and with the way Penn State like upsets teams, wouldn't surprise me if Penn State won, but I'm taking Purdue, and I think Purdue wins it all, honestly.
I'm going to go on a bold streak here. I'm going to go Penn State to win the Big Ten Conference Championship.
That's not crazy.
I mean, I didn't pick it for our pick'em, but I'm just going to pick it for the podcast.
Well, for me, I'm going to say for this first game at 2 o'clock, I'm going to say Michigan State wins. I think it's going to be a lot closer game than anybody expected, but I just don't think Michigan's that good enough to beat Michigan State. And for that second game, I've got to pick Purdue, but this will be a very close game as well. These two games will be very tight and close, but I'm not going to go with an upset. I'm going to Purdue and Michigan State in the conference championship, and I'm going to take Michigan to win it.
All right, who are we for the Pac-12? I'm taking Arizona. Chris is taking Washington. Who you got, Chris?
I'm taking Arizona.
Who are we forgetting? I feel like we're forgetting a major.
SEC.
SEC. I don't even know who's in the SEC tournament at this point.
Everybody.
I'm actually going to say...
While you're thinking about it,
this was the toughest one.
Yeah, because you got Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas.
Auburn's not playing well right now, though.
Yeah, I'm not going Auburn. I'm going Tennessee. I don't like Kentucky this season to win it all. I think Tennessee wins it all. And Auburn's kind of falling down right now.
I don't know. Kentucky's hot right now.
I'm going Kentucky.
I just don't think it's their season.
I'm going to stick with my guts. I'm going to go Arkansas.
Whoa.
Oh, gosh.
It's bold. Hey, look, they beat Auburn, they beat Texas A&M, they beat Kentucky. Like, I think they can make a run through the SEC.
They didn't beat Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, they lost by, like, 2, but...
No, they lost by, like, 10.
Okay, but still, it's fine. They'll take care
of it. It's a bold pick. I respect it.
87-72 was that score of that game.
The American or whatever. I only know 2 teams, so I'm going to take Cincinnati.
I'm going to go Cincinnati, too.
I'm going to go Wichita State in this one.
Okay. Yeah, and then I think that's it.
Yeah. So,
Big East?
Oh, yeah. How could we forget the Big
East? Villanova.
Jeez, that one's tough.
Xavier won't beat Villanova.
Yeah, I kind of agree there, too. Villanova's whooped Xavier twice. I'm going to go Villanova when that
I'm going to go bold. Both times they've played, they've almost knocked off Villanova. I think third time. I'm not taking Xavier. Chill out.
Oh.
I'm taking Seton Hall. Both times Villanova's only won within 5 points, I think. And earlier this week, Seton Hall almost knocked them off again. And they only won by 1 point on the last second shot. So I think that I'm taking Seton Hall. think they're hot right now.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go Xavier. I was like, no, they have not. Those games have not been close.
I think DePaul, yeah, no. DePaul would will have a chance, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, like that for one. Sure. Right there. Well, actually, it wouldn't shock me, to be honest with you. Like, even St. John's got so hot the second half of the season. Like,
yeah, that wouldn't shock me if they made a deep run.
I could see them making a run. I couldn't see, like, DePaul or St. John's winning the tournament. To me, like, the only three teams in the Big East I could see winning the tournament are Seton Hall, Xavier, and Villanova.
Y'all are just yakking it up now. You know, good and well, St. John's is not going to make a tournament run.
We're talking about Big East tournament.
You don't know, dude. The Big East tournament.
Yeah, no, what you're talking about. They're not going to make no run at no Big East tournament.
I don't know. Well, I mean, if the bracket sets itself up well, you know, they get...
Maybe one of them.
Look at Penn State.
True.
I mean...
Yeah, but Penn State's
a little bit
better than these Saints.
No, you gotta give them a shot, but I understand your skepticism. All right.
Okay, I'll give them a 1% chance. That's fine.
So that was college basketball talk. Any college basketball overall season thoughts from you, Tristan?
No, I think it's going to be an interesting tournament. I'm going to go ahead and say it now. My pick for the championship is going to be Duke, just because I think that they're so talented.
All right. Well, Chris and I will save ours for our mini March Madness show coming up. But this is today the football podcast. So yes, we will. Chris, are you ready to talk some football?
Oh, yes, I'm very excited. Of course, we know this is the football podcast, so we've got to talk about some kind of football. Come on.
All right. Okay, so let's start at the combine. The Broncos, there were a bunch of press conferences. We're going to kind of go over all of them. The Broncos certainly don't sound like a team heavily pursuing Kirk Cousins. Vance Joseph said in his press conference the Broncos' plans were to run the ball and win by playing great defense. That sounds like a turnoff to a quarterback like Kirk Cousins for me. I don't think he's going to Denver at this point. Tristan, as a fellow Broncos fans, your thoughts?
I just think it's like you said, it's coach talk. I don't know. I think Cousins is going to be down. I mean, they said the report this morning was Jets, Cardinals, Vikings, Broncos. I think it's going to end up coming down to the Broncos and Vikings. I do think that Kirk will probably end up in Minnesota with them pursuing him. You know, they were just in the conference championship. I think Denver's going to have to draft a quarterback for sure. Maybe sign a guy like Case Keenum, or maybe trade for a guy like Nick Foles. It's just really, you have all the cards. You just have to figure out which one to play.
No, not Nick Foles. I'm not okay with Nick Foles. I'd be okay with Tyrod Taylor or Case Keenum.
I wouldn't be okay with Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I would agree there too. Tyrod Taylor isn't going to take the Broncos anywhere.
Yeah, that's just because it's... If we're gonna draft, if we're gonna get him, we might as well just draft Lamar Jackson.
All right, we'll get to more Lamar Jackson talk later in the show. The Browns will be drafting a quarterback. It sounds like Hugh Jackson said in his press conference that he is tired of trading down in the first round. I really don't blame him. I think they're gonna use their top two picks, and with one of them, they're gonna take a quarterback. Chris, my question for you, who are they taking with the number one overall pick?
This is going to be very unpopular, a very unpopular opinion, and I already know it, but I like Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. He's kind of cocky, I know, and I know you were talking about you would like him in Denver, but I just see that fit would work out pretty well. Cleveland needs some kind of hope, and I think Baker Mayfield is cocky enough and has enough confidence that I think he would probably be the best quarterback for the Browns out of all of the quarterbacks in this quarterback talented draft.
What is John Gruden Gruden talked up Amari Cooper, telling reporters, "We think Cooper's going to be a player. He'll be the focal point of our offense, the headliner of our offense." Gruden has famously, in his coaching history, glowed over players in the media and then ruthlessly cut them behind the scenes. He also said that he wanted to take the game back to 1998, ignoring analytics. Tristan, how many games did the Oakland Raiders win this year?
I'm going to go 9-7. I think the talent is there. It's going to be all on Derek Carr, though, I think. If Derek Carr can perform like he did two seasons ago, this team could easily win the AFC West, and they could also contend in the playoffs. But if Derek Carr plays like he did last season, I think you're going to see an 8-8, 7-9 team that was just what they were this year.
Ryan Shazier will not play in the 2018 season. Sad news for sure, but I think it's the right decision. We certainly don't want to see him get injured farther than that. There's more in life than football. Sad news for the Steelers, but in the end, I think this is the right decision. Chris, will Ryan Shazier ever play football again?
I bet from what the reports I've heard, he probably will play again. I think this is a good idea. He should not play in 2018 with the injury coming off that injury so soon. I would say he'll probably play in the 2019 season. I'd like the move of him just sitting out this season. It's better, like you said, better for him to sit out than to risk like this soon after. But I think he's got a pretty good chance to play again. His dad says he'll play again. I'm pretty sure he's confident he'll probably play again. I think he'll play again in 2019.
The Arizona Cardinals could be in the running for Tyrod Taylor. Steve Wilks mentioned using a trade as a potential route for a quarterback via NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal. Not a lot to discuss there. The Packers sound like a team ready to make moves. Brian Gutekunst talked heavily about re-signing veterans, but said there are restraints to that. Reading into that, big changes coming, in my opinion. Expect the Packers to try to get younger. Also, talks of a long-term deal with Aaron Rodgers trying to get done this offseason. Tristan, will Aaron Rodgers have a new contract at the beginning of the 2018 season?
I think so. I think he obviously deserves it with like how he's played. And, you know, he's probably a top five quarterback right now. I mean, for sure. I think that it just has to – both sides have to get it done. Maybe not immediately, but I think during the season there's definitely going to be one more.
The Panthers have released Jonathan Stewart from the team. He has had a really long and great career with Carolina. Now, for fantasy owners, the player to watch is Christian McCaffrey. He'll be the number one guy in Carolina next year. Chris, my question for you: will Jonathan Stewart get a shot with another team, or is this the end of the road?
This is probably the end of the road for him. He might go on like as a second string in, I'm not going to announce a particular city right now, but I think most likely this is it for him. I think after the Panthers released him, I thought this was one of his better opportunities if he was going to continue playing to stay in Carolina.
Moving on to the next piece of news. The Vikings sure sound like a team that's ready to make a push for Kirk Cousins. GM Rick Spielman was noncommittal to any of his three current quarterbacks. Mike Zimmer in his press conference did not at all sound like he wanted to keep Case Keenum. He sounded like actually the quarterback he was most comfortable with was Sam Bradford. Chris, my question for you: will Kirk Cousins be signing with the Vikings?
You know, I've tossed and turned with this one for a while. It's looking more and more likely, yes. It really is, based off of what we've seen with Teddy Bridgewater likely going to be a free agent. So I'm going to say chances are getting higher, yes. But right now, I'm not ready to say that yet. I think he's got a better chance signing with the Broncos.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the number one thing with the Broncos is that they I just don't know. I don't think they're going to sign Kirk Cousins. Finally, the Broncos could trade the fifth overall pick. John Elway said that the Broncos are open for offers for their first round pick. As a Broncos fan, I don't like hearing that. Tristan, I don't know if you're back yet, but what do you think about trading the fifth overall pick?
I don't think he's back yet, so I'll answer that, and I'm going to let you answer that, since he's not back yet. Hold on a second. He may be back. Okay, he says he's not back yet. I keep on hearing these buzzes. For me, I don't think they'll end up trading that fifth overall draft pick, but it really means to me that they're not going to draft the franchise quarterback, which is why I say I think they're going to sign Kirk Cousins. I really still believe that. And a report came out this morning. I'm not sure if y'all saw it or not, but the Broncos, the Vikings, the Cardinals, and the Jets are the final four teams for Kirk Cousins, according to this report. And I think, like I said, I think the Broncos would be is probably the top spot, and then the Vikings would be second. So if they sign Kirk Cousins, that they might trade the overall for fifth overall draft pick. I just don't think so.
For sure. Where do you think that he'll end up?
What's that?
Where do you think he'll end up?
Who, Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
I think he'll be a Denver Bronco in the end.
Tristan, where do you think Kirk Cousins ends up? Closing out this Combine news segment before we move to the Combine. Still not back from break. This is awesome. Tristan, come back to the podcast. We need to talk about the Combine. Until then, Chris, any major takeaways from the Combine press conferences?
Not really, because I haven't really watched too many of them. So I would say no.
Yeah.
This is great podcasting.
Yeah, I know. This is all thanks to our friend Tristan Beckman, who is not currently with us. Tristan, are you there? Tristan, like, you are seriously, you're back?
I am back now.
Oh, great. We almost had to, like, cut that part because, like, you were gone for so long. Like, you gotta stay on the mic. If you don't want to talk, that's fine, but, you know.
Great podcasting for us. Let's just call it that.
So, Tristan, where do you think Kirk Cousins will end up before we move on to the Combine talk?
I honestly don't know between the Vikings and the Broncos, but I'd have to say right now, the Broncos, because the Vikings are just now coming on, but I think the Vikings really have the second best shot. But that could be, they could probably be the first in a few weeks.
All right, let's get to it. Combine talk. And let me just start with this, you know. The best player in this year's draft is who, Tristan?
Well, what I said, this is a tough question for anyone to answer. You know, you talk to anybody, it's so many different opinions. But, like, based on what I saw before the combine, because they haven't worked out yet, but I'd have to choose, it's defense, and I'd have to choose between NC State edge rusher Bradley Chubb and Alabama defensive back Minkah Fitzpatrick. Chubb isn't explosive off the edge, but he has tremendous power with his hands at the line of scrimmage, and he has that athletic skill set that should allow him to get to the quarterback consistently in the NFL, and he very well could be the next great edge rusher. And with Fitzpatrick, he's been compared to Harrison Smith a lot, and he kind of does play really similar. I don't know if he's going to play cornerback or safety, but he played both under Saban at Alabama. And his skills give him a great chance to be better than Harrison Smith has. He's great in coverage and against the run, and those are huge, obviously, for defensive backs in today's NFL. And he can do it all defensively. But I'd say both of them. I don't know who's better yet, but I am excited to see how they work out tomorrow. I will be watching them at the combine tomorrow because I do want to see what they did.
All right, Chris, you have our next question.
Yep. So tell us a little bit about more about the edge position and what it means exactly.
The edge rusher, the NFL is developing into a league that it's going to be dominated by these hybrid edge rushers, and they're so versatile, and, you know, teams can use them in almost any defensive package now. Some edge rushers, like Von Miller's considered an edge rusher. He's asked to play coverage at times, but some are straight up just defensive ends that are expected to rush the quarterback. They definitely need to have speed. They don't have to be the fastest, but they also don't want to be slow. And they need to quickly rush the edge, you know, good hand power, like I said about Bradley Chubb. And they need to be able to make plays on the quarterback. This draft class, it's absolutely loaded with edge rushers. I already talked about Chubb, and I believe he's probably the best overall player in this draft to me right now. But it's not just him. You know, there's other first-round caliber prospects like Marcus Davenport, Arden Key, Harold Landry, and Sam Hubbard. They could all be future Pro Bowlers. I'm really excited to see them work out tomorrow, and we'll see how the teams treat this position in the draft. I do want to see how important the edge rusher position is, and we'll see how teams draft with these guys on the board in the first round.
I'm taking a few minutes off the mic. I'll be back.
Okay, so my question for you, Ben. So you think the edge rusher is the best position in this draft class, correct?
No, I think it's deep, but there's another deep one, deep class of position. And I've got to go quarterbacks. It's most years it is quarterbacks because it's so important, you know. There's a lot of talented college quarterbacks that are entering the draft. I'm not particularly sure which one's the best. I mean, they worked out today. But you combine this with, like, there's 10 to 12 teams in the top 25 picks that are probably going to look into drafting a quarterback. Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, they're everybody's favorites. Both of them out west, coming in. I did not watch Rosen's workout, but I did watch Sam Darnold. He did not throw today, but it really didn't hurt his stock too much. Both of these guys have extremely high potential if they get drafted to the right situation. Lamar Jackson from Louisville. I'm obviously from Louisville, so I watched Lamar for most of his college games, and he's a freak show of an athlete. We know that. He could be a star if his game smoothly transitions to the NFL level. He did had an all right day at the combine throwing the ball. He didn't run the 40. He didn't need to. But I think that for him, it's going to be getting drafted to the right situation. And I think sitting out a year might, as a backup, might do him best. Baker Mayfield, a lot of off-field concerns from teams, but he's talented, proven winner from Oklahoma. He should be a first-round pick easily. I don't think the character issues will affect that too much. Josh Allen out of Wyoming. Here's the guy that everybody is swinging all over the place on. You know, some guys are like, this guy's crazy. Some guys are like, he's from Wyoming. He's not going to be good in the NFL. He's strong. He's like 6'6", 250, something like that. Scouts are drooling over his potential, but I'm like some people. I think Wyoming, not a major football school, and Allen did play against inferior competition. It doesn't give me much confidence in his game heading to the league, but I do want to see how he plays in the NFL. And then the guy that nobody's really talking about, probably a second-round pick, maybe a first-rounder, just depends on what the situation's looking like. Oklahoma State quarterback Mason Rudolph. Sleeper pick, but would be a surefire pick on the second day of the draft if he does not go round one.
All right, who's the best quarterback in the draft?
Well, yeah, we just talked about them all, but some guys really aren't buying. Some of the experts, they're not buying the hype. I'm buying some of this. I am buying some of the hype on these quarterbacks. I think at least two or three of these quarterbacks can become stars. And one or two of them can become busts. I think that's a pretty darn good quarterback class. For the best quarterback in the class, though, I think it really depends on what the team that drafts them is looking for and the system they are implementing, as well as the different skills compared against each other. It just depends on how you factor everything in. But for me right now, I'd rank them Rosen, Mayfield, Jackson, Darnold, Allen, Rudolph. The reason I'm not as high as Sam Darnold as everyone else is because he's got clear issues with turnovers from the college game. And I think Rosen, he's probably my top guy just because I've watched him on film. He's impressive. He's got an arm. And I'm interested to see how his game does end up translating to the league. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's move on to the top three in each position. Now, Tristan, I loved what you did there. You went forever, and you answered, like, all the questions afterwards. But stick to these three. Chris, yes?
Did somebody knock something over?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Go clean it up. Don't mess up.
No, it wasn't anything. But you get what I'm saying, Tristan?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Tristan, let's start with... this is going to be more of a discussion area where all of us can put in kind of our thoughts on these QBs, because I know that I've done some pro YouTube scouting, and I think I know my stuff. And Chris is a college football savant. So let's start with your top three quarterbacks and one that didn't make your top three that you think we should be talking about. Who you got?
Well, I just said it, but Rosen, Mayfield, Jackson, and Darnold is the odd man out of that equation.
So why... there are a lot of questions with Baker Mayfield. For me, I get his athleticism. I love it. I think he's a great running quarterback. I think for sure he's a first rounder. I think for sure he's a quarterback. But I didn't see any throws on his reel that, like, made me think that this guy can make NFL-level throws. He was thrown to wide-open receivers most of the time. And at the combine, like, he didn't hurt himself, but he didn't help himself either. I was just watching his throwing session before we got on to record this. Why is he in your top three, and why don't you have Allen in your top three? Because I get what people were saying with overthrows and stuff like that, but when he got actual good receivers at the combine, he was putting the ball in the money every single time.
Yeah, I think the thing with Mayfield is he's a winner. He's proven winner. You know, like last year, I said the whole year.
Well, not Mayfield, Jackson.
Jackson.
Why is he in your top three? He wouldn't be in my top three. My top three right now would probably be Allen 1, Mayfield 2, and I don't know about enough about Rosen, but I put Rosen at 3 just because Darnold, I watched him play him a lot last year, and I thought he took a step back.
I'm just going to chime in real quick. I think Jackson should be on the outside looking in. I think it's fair to look at him possibly as that number 3 spot, but he's not quite there yet in my opinion either.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the athleticism speaks for itself. But I do want to see, you know, like I said, with all of these quarterbacks, it's just about the team that drafts them. What system are they? You just going to throw them into the fire? You know, like, some of these quarterbacks you can. Like Deshaun Watson, you could throw him into the fire in Houston. Mitch Trubisky, it wasn't that bad when the Bears threw him into the fire. But if somebody throws in one of these quarterbacks too early into the season, their career could be ruined forever.
So who's the perfect system for Lamar Jackson?
That's an interesting question. I think it's an offense that has receivers, but I also think it's an offense that has a running back that's willing to run the option. Kind of that's what I'm thinking. Like, It's an option offense for sure. That's probably the best for him. But obviously, he can throw, but some throws he struggles with. He needs to get better on the outside throws. Inside throws really aren't a problem. But if you watched him at the combine today, you could see that he struggled a lot more with the outside throws than the insides.
Yeah, definitely.
What would y'all think about the Vikings? Like, it's not going to happen, but say the Vikings type of offense.
They've taken a Louisville QB before, but I don't think I don't think they're in a place where they want to go rookie
quarterback. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think the place for me is Buffalo. I think Buffalo is the perfect scenario for him because you got Shady. If you run the option with LeSean McCoy and Lamar Jackson, and you have a few quality wide receivers where it's more of a check down offense, I think you could. I don't know if that's what they want because I feel like Jackson is, in the best way, kind of the closest to Tyrod Taylor. But I don't know if they draft him, but I feel like Buffalo would be the best scenario.
Yeah, it's a pretty good team. I think it's a good fit for him, for sure.
Yeah. So I am. So let's move on. Any other thoughts on the quarterback?
Not for me.
So let's move on to running back. The top three running backs in this class for you, Tristan, are who?
Well, Saquon Barkley, far and away, best running back in the class. After watching his combine performance, I would say he's entered the discussion that he's back in the really elite discussion of being the best player in the draft. When we talked about the best player in the draft, I said before the combine, right now, I'd say Barkley is probably a part of that, the two other defensive players that I named. I'd go Sony Michel out of Georgia. I think he's athletic, talented, he can make an impact, and if he gets the right amount of touches in his rookie season, he really could have like a Kareem Hunt kind of impact, you know what I'm, if you all know what I'm getting at.
Exactly. Exactly what I was thinking.
I got LSU running back Darius Geis as my third. I think he's good, but I was not impressed with the benching that he did. I thought he would do better on the bench press because he's a big guy. Like, he's not small by any measure. He's more of a LeGarrette Blount runner, probably a little bit faster, but I would say definitely fits that mold in the NFL. And then my odd man out is Rashad Penny out of San Diego State. I haven't watched much on him, but he did really have a successful season, multiple successful seasons at San Diego State in college.
So my question, two questions. The first one, a quick answer from Tristan, and then I'm going to throw it to you, Chris, on Sony Michel, because I know you're a big Georgia guy. So my question for you, Tristan, is who's the NFL comparison for Barkley?
I'm going to go Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh wow, that's really high praise. So do you think he'll go top three?
He should go number one in the draft to the Browns, in my opinion.
So, throwing it to you now, Chris. You're a Georgia fan, obviously. Sony Michel, tell me a little bit more about him.
Well, I'm pretty much gonna go comparison, then I'll go. For me, the comparison for Sony Michel would probably be Alvin Kamara from the Saints. I think it would be the closest, and I know he's just rookie from last year, but I think that's the closest. But for me, I think he's a good second down running back. What do you want to know? I mean, what? Where do you want to go with that question?
What are your thoughts on Sony Michel? Like, what, when you watched him for all the Georgia games, because I know you watched most all of the Georgia games. What were your thoughts? What's his biggest strength? What's his biggest weakness? Do you think he's a first rounder? What?
I think he's a second rounder. I just don't see him going in the first round as much. I know as much as you said, or as much as Tristan praised him, kind of sort of. But I think he'll be a good passing option, a passing running back. I think he'll be, you can throw him the toss in the outer field, kind of like out what they do with Alvin Kamara. I think that's his best. That's his strength.
Right. Moving on to our next position, wide receiver. Give us your top three, Tristan.
I think Calvin Ridley, far and away, the best wide receiver in the class. He improved his stock tremendously at the combine. Ran a 4.44 40, which, to put it in context, was like a top five out of the receiving class. And then you got the other guys that are ahead of him. But Ridley, Alabama player, talented, had a great college career. He's big. He's a freak athlete. I think he's got the skill set to dominate on the outside, as well as just being a great option for any team. In my latest mock draft, I had the Broncos trading down with the Bills and getting both of the Bills' first-round picks and drafting Ridley and then Orlando Brown out of Oklahoma. I think Ridley has to get into the right situation as well with a quarterback that's willing to throw him the deep ball consistently. Christian?
There's no – so just to comment, I don't think there's any way he makes it down to 15, Bo. I feel like the Bears are the candidate to take him.
I think the Bears are too, but I don't know if he's top 10 pick worthy this year. I think – and the Bills have the 21st and 22nd picks.
Well, I mean, the Bears, if you look at it, they're pretty set up pretty much everywhere except wide receiver.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to take him for sure.
Well, it just depends on free agency.
I just feel like it's a lock they take a wide receiver.
Yeah, for sure. They could also trade down, too. You never know. But at number two, I got Texas A&M wide receiver Christian Kirk. He's first round. He'll go first round. I think I've had this for him in most of my mock drafts. The Ravens are the best fit far and away for him. And then I've got SMU wide receiver Cortland Sutton, which I think is Panthers will probably pick him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with either of those.
So tell me a little bit more about the Texas A&M guy, because I know a lot of people before the combine were putting Sutton at two, but then suddenly, and this guy wasn't really even in the picture, but then suddenly this guy's like one of the top prospects. What changed? How was his combine? How was his season? Tell me a little bit more about Christian Kirk.
Kirk, he's a slot receiver. He can play outside, but he's going to be a slot receiver. He can return punts. He can return kicks. He can do it all as a receiver, and he's kind of a guy that I think he's going to make a very big impact wherever he gets drafted. He ran well to combine, 4.46, only 0.2 seconds below Calvin Ridley. I think that he's going to make an impact, like I said. My big thing
Who's the NFL comparison for him?
I'd go Julian Edelman. He's going to be a reliable slot receiver in the NFL, I think.
Yeah, I think he'll be reliable as well, but it was just an interesting comparison, in my opinion.
Chris, any thoughts on this wide receiver class? Is there anyone not on Tristan's list that you really sticks out to you?
No, his top three was, right on point. I don't disagree with either three.
Who's one guy to watch that's not in the top three?
James Washington out of Oklahoma State. He's a deep threat, and I really think that he'll go second round, I think, but I think he could definitely be a surprise and be a team's number one or number two at the end of the season, next season.
Absolutely. Moving on to the next position group. This one always the hardest to figure out just because we so rarely get good tight ends coming into the league out of college. How's the tight end class this year, and who are the top three? We won't spend too much time on this.
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on this one either. I think that there's a top one, honestly. I think that Thomas and Goedert, I have not watched much film on them. The tight end class is not – last year was pretty deep. It was O.J. Howard, Evan Engram, David Njoku, but – Mark Andrews out of Oklahoma, he's the only guy worth talking about. He had success with Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to go second or third round. I honestly think the Broncos could get him in the third round, and he would fit in well with the offense.
Right. Moving on to pass rushers. This is – I kind of shortened this up so we could get to – so we didn't go way too long on time. But this is defensive tackles, D linemen, and defensive ends. Who are your top three?
I would go with Alabama defensive tackle De'Ron Payne at number one, Michigan defensive lineman Maurice Hurst, but I just got an update on my phone that Hurst is diagnosed with a heart condition. He will skip the combine and undergo more tests, so I don't know about that anymore. And then I'd go Washington defensive tackle Vita Vea.
What about you, Chris? Any thoughts on the pass rushing class this year?
No, not really. Not for me.
So who? Give me the NFL comparisons for these guys, Tristan.
I'd go Dontari Poe for Deron Payne. I would go with Star Lotulelei for Vita Vea. I think Lotulelei's older now. He's not really. I don't even know if he's in the league anymore. And then
yeah, he plays for the Panthers, former Utah guy.
Yeah. And then Maurice Hurst, I'd go with. That's actually a tough one because Hurst is a different kind of prospect. And with this heart condition thing, I don't know really how I stand on that.
So throw the heart condition to the side. Expand on how he's a different type of prospect.
I mean, he was really good at Michigan defensively. He's strong at the line. He's got tremendous hand power. He can get off the snap well. He can get to the quarterback. And he really can make the center and guards. He can make their days rough. I would say that he is a comparison to, like, that's tough. Maybe like a Damon Harrison, Jonathan Hankins, one of those guys. He's a physical guy up front, for sure.
Right. Moving on to the linebacker class, this is a very strong linebacker class from what I've heard. Who you got as your top three?
Well, what I said is I did split up the edges and the linebackers. For the edge, I have Chubb, Key, and Landry, but we don't have to talk about that. We already talked about the edge earlier. Linebacker is not the deepest class, for sure, when you take out the edge, of course. I would go Roquan Smith. Far and away the best linebacker in this class. I know Chris probably will agree. Tremaine Edwards out of Virginia Tech. He's going to be a great outside linebacker. And then Malik Jefferson out of Texas. I think he's also going to be a solid outside linebacker. I think all three of those guys have a really good chance. Well, Smith is going first round, no doubt. Edwards and Jefferson, late first rounders, early seconds, for sure.
Smith's probably going top 10.
Chris, tell me more about Roquan Smith. Tell me what you like and who you would compare him to in the NFL.
That's tough for me. It's really hard to say what I like about him because can y'all hear me? Hello?
Yeah. Yeah. You're fine.
Hello?
Can you hear? Hi, how are you?
Hold on a second.
Tristan, I will throw this to you. Who's the comparison for Roquan Smith?
I would say Ryan Shazier. I would say he's a comparison. Athletic linebacker. Can really move around the field well. And that's who I would compare him to.
All right, moving on to the next slot, cornerbacks, I believe is what I had. Who are the top three cornerbacks in this draft?
A lot of people will disagree with this, but I'd have to go with Jair Alexander out of Louisville at one. I've watched him. I'm a Louisville guy. I watch all of his college games. He is the best coverage cornerback in the draft easily. He's good in coverage. He can also return kicks and punts. I don't know if he's going to be asked to do that at the NFL level, but he did do it at Louisville some. He's athletic. He's got skills on the outside, and he can match up well with a lot of receivers. He's not small, so that's also a good thing. Second, I'd go Iowa cornerback Josh Jackson, another athlete. Will definitely be a first-round pick. And then third, I'd go Ohio State cornerback Denzel Ward, who's also probably a first-round pick, athletic, great in coverage, coached well by Urban Meyer. And then my odd man out is Colorado cornerback Isaiah Oliver. I think he'll be an early second round pick. He's athletic, and I think he's an interesting prospect.
Moving on to our final one, offensive line. Just give me your top three offensive linemen.
I'd go Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame at number one. He had a great combine. And then I'd go with another Notre Dame O-lineman, Mike McGlinchey, at number two. And then I'd go Texas offensive tackle, Connor Williams, at number three.
And then finally, we'll close up with safeties. Who are the top three safeties in this draft?
I'd go Minka Fitzpatrick from Alabama at one. We already touched on him. Freak of an athlete. Great defensive back. And then Florida State safety Derwin James. He's a sleeper pick. He should go top 15, and he was a really good safety at Florida State. He's an X factor, I think. He could definitely sneak up into the top 10 with a good combine showing tomorrow. And then I'd go Alabama safety Ronnie Harrison, a late first round, early second round pick, well coached by Nick Saban. I think that's what'll get his stock kind of a little bit higher.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the prospect of this show. I wanted to try this one thing that I thought about. Chris and I have done this, and Brian and I have done this on paper, but I thought we could try it on audio. We're going to do a mock draft of a top 10 in this order. Tristan, you'll go first, then I'll go, then Chris will go. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
We'll all get the team's picks. We start with the number one pick of the draft is going to be the Cleveland Browns. Tristan, I'll let you get on the clock and get going.
Saquon Barkley.
All right. I will take at number two for the Giants. To be honest with you, I don't think they're going to take a quarterback because I think they have delusions of grandeur that they don't need one. So I'm going to say offensive tackle Quentin Nelson. Or guard. He's a guard, actually.
For three, I'm going to take for the Colts. I'm going to take Bradley Chubb, edge, North Carolina State. For me, this is pretty clear, I think. You have to improve on defense any kind of way you can, and I think starting on with that edge position is a pretty good spot to start with.
At four, the Browns again, I would go with Baker Mayfield out of Oklahoma.
At five, now I got to choose for the Broncos. At five, I think you take – I don't think they're getting Kirk Cousins – I think you take, if he's available, you take Josh Rosen. If he's not, you take Josh Allen. I'm gonna take Josh Allen just because I've fallen in love with his tape and his combine performance. So I'll take Josh Allen for the Broncos at five.
For the Jets, I'm gonna take Josh Rosen. I was gonna take the other one. I was gonna take Josh Allen, but I'm gonna take Josh Rosen here, because I just don't think the Jets are going to get Kirk Cousins, and they're going to have to find somebody. Sorry.
I think for the Buccaneers at number seven, I'd go Notre Dame offensive tackle Mike McGlinchey.
Yeah, for me at nine, the Raiders are nine, correct?
Well, we're at eight.
No, the Bears.
The Bears are at nine.
At eight. The Bears are at eight.
And, of course, I'm going to take who I said earlier, Calvin Ridley.
Yep.
For the Oakland Raiders, I'm going to take Derwin Jones, safety, Florida State.
And then 10 is the 49ers, correct?
Yeah.
No. The 49ers are at 9. So, Chris, remake your pick.
No,
the Raiders won the coin toss yesterday.
Oh, did they? So the Raiders are at 9?
Yes.
No, they're at 10. No. Not according to this NFL.com piece. Raiders are at 10. Go look it up.
Okay, I'll do the 49ers too. That's fine. I'm going to take Cortland Sutton, wide receiver.
Ooh.
I just think that would be – I think they need to build around Jimmy Garoppolo, and that would be a good way to start.
I like that pick. And then, Tristan, you close us out, the Raiders' final pick in the top 10.
I'm going to go with Roquan Smith. I think that the Raiders are going to let Navarro Bowman walk, and I think Roquan Smith will fill that role.
All All right. I think that'll do it for today's show. Thanks a lot for coming on, Tristan.
No problem. I enjoyed it.
Yep, we had a good time.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys enjoy this. We'll be back. This show should get released either. Maybe we'll put it out today. I don't know. How does that sound, Chris?
Sounds pretty good to me. Today or tomorrow. We'll have it out by the end of the weekend for sure.
Yeah, we'll have it out by the end of the weekend. We'll be back next Saturday when we talk a little bit about the college basketball tournaments. Also,
that'll be Sunday.
Actually, you won't be hearing from us until Sunday. We'll talk about Selection Sunday and the college basketball tourney and how the brackets ended out. And I think me and Chris will be here for that. If Tristan, you want to come on, if you want to.
Yeah, I'll think about it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But thanks for coming on, man. We'll definitely have you on before the draft to do one. We're going to do a draft preview show in April. And we will have you back on. Thanks for coming on,
man. No problem.
All right. Chris, I think that's all I got. Why don't you close us out?
Yep. And as always, thanks for joining us today. Of course, you can always follow us on Twitter at the Endzone Pod. The same old, same old. Eric at Eric18Utah. Tristan, what's your Twitter?
At TBeckmanPSF.
That's what I thought it was. And then, of course, I'm at ChrisPSF. But as I always say, if you're not following us,
one thing, Chris and I did a multiple mock draft, which is a back and forth draft, pick 'em on paper, kind of like we just did with the end of the show. We will tweet that from the Endzone Pod account when it comes out later today, but check that out as well.
Yeah, that will be out by the end of the day today. But like I said, if y'all aren't following us on Twitter, y'all probably aren't going to follow us. But anyway, till next time. See you.